Jade. We are in the air everywhere. Welcome to the vast network where there is no teapot kettle because we stay metal. What is up, guys? It has been pretty interesting, man. I've been really busy these last couple of months, so there was a lot of music that I realized I did not get into, which I found to be very interesting, man, because there was just so much content that I did not check out. Made me quite sad, actually. From bands like Shadow of Intent, I didn't check out their album, and I'm making these revamp lists and things like that. Didn't even check out these albums. What other album have I listened to since my last podcast? I listened to Shadow of Intent. I listened to Darko's album. I listened to Darko's Ani album and the latest EP as well, which I forget the name. I've also listened to Sleeping with Sirens album. I've listened to Upon a Burning Bodies album. I've also had the chance to check out some more crabcore bands too, which we'll get into. And who else have I checked out since my last pod that I did not check out? Oh, Architects. Would you believe it? Yeah, man, Architects. I did not know that they had an album last year. So that was quite interesting as well, which was very shocking considering the fact that they just had released an album in 2021. So that just kind of threw me off guard, man. So, man, a lot of stuff I had to catch up with, man. I can't be out here lacking. So I got to know what I'm talking about. I got to know this content so that I can compare it all and make it all make sense, man, because who else is going to do it, right? But, man, I'm glad you guys are here. Glad you guys are listening. And, man, of course, there's not a better metalcore analyst than myself, I shall say. So I'm glad I'm able to do this pod for you guys again. And yeah, man, so much music came out, and all those albums were so great last year that it definitely inspired this episode and this content, because I definitely wanted to take a deeper dive into what was actually the greatest year of metal. And of course, when I say metal, I'm talking about the shit that we love, the shit that brought you guys here, you know, metalcore, post-hardcore, deathcore, death metal and things like that. So of course I definitely wanted to actually really think about it and do research on it and actually really dive deep into it, and that's what I definitely did. Because like I said, last year definitely inspired me to really to go back in time, and I love going back in time, man, because, man, about 13 years ago, man, music was definitely at its prime in this scene, and it was just so fun to be a part of this scene, because, like I said, it was definitely at its prime around 2010-ish, 2011-ish. But, I mean, the real question is, was it really at its prime? Because with a lot of new bands coming out, a lot of new talent stepping up to the forefront, a lot of changing of the guard, if you will, with a lot of the newer bands definitely establishing themselves as a real placement holder as far as the pyramid of elite bands. There's been a lot of elite bands that have definitely taken a few steps back, and there's been a lot of elite bands that have taken a few steps forward. Of course, there's been bands that have just been mediocre, and some bands also get a spot on my The Rise and Fall podcast series. So yeah, it's just been a lot of up and down for sure. And yeah, man, we're just gonna get into it, man. Let's see what we got here. And by the way, guys, if you got any horror show suggestions, let me know. I just finished watching Them on Amazon Prime, so I fluctuate between Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and sometimes I even watch Disney Plus. But I'm just a horror junkie, so any horror shows or horror movies, you guys know, definitely let me know about that. And that would be pretty, pretty awesome. And yeah, so we're going to get into it, man. First, we're going to be covering a general overall take on Periphery's album. I know it came out this year, not too long ago. I was going to do a technical breakdown of it. You guys know how I usually do the track by track. But this is more of a general breakdown because Periphery's singles didn't really impress me. So I didn't really want to take a real deep dive into it because I just had a feeling that, because you know, singles usually tell the story of the album. So if your singles aren't impressing me, I'm typically not going to, I'm definitely going to listen to the entire album if I respect you as a band, but I'm not going to spend a lot of the time analyzing, you know, the album to that extent. But yeah, man, let's definitely get into it because Periphery, of course, man, they have the greatest song ever created known to man, which is Reptile. So, of course, you got to respect them at all times, at all cost, or we'll get deadly out here. Just kidding. Yeah, so my general take on Periphery's latest album, which is called Gent Is Not a Genre, came out, I believe, March 10th, which is about 2 weeks ago. So overall, the theme is salvation. Many of the songs talk about a right with the eternal one. There's also lyrics about forgiveness and creating bonds, which all alludes to this conclusion. The album feels hopeful, which is conveyed and constructed by having mostly melodic tunes. My overall analysis of this album, first let's get into the pros. I don't know why I keep burping, man, fuck. So yeah, the pros would be the versatility of the album. The band displays their ability to lyrically evolve with new subject matter. The tone, the album is much more melodic than the previous album, Hell Stan. Although Hell Stan had many melodic moments for sure, there was more of an emphasis on being heavy and proggy on Hell Stan rather than melodic and spiritual on this album. So this album is more about the feel. Spencer commands your attention and proves he can be a front man of a cleaner band. Of course, by cleaner band, I mean Spencer voice is definitely, he's definitely talented enough to where he doesn't have to scream if, you know, he's Spencer Sotelo. He's the man, and he definitely proved that on this album. Some of the cons here. First of all, the album's not heavy. And of course, you know, that's more of a preference for me. It's something you guys don't have to like heavy stuff. It's just more of my preference. The more gent songs even lack the overall dark undertone. Instrumentally lacking, I felt as though it was just wasn't as gent, which is funny because of what the album title is, Gent Is Not a Genre. Instrumentally lacking, although this is expected, so not really a con as much as a surprise. Lost foundation, most songs need to be gent, otherwise metal fans will listen to better melodic material. You know, like, they're pretty good when they're melodic, but I think that there's just plenty of other bands that carry that melodic tone a lot better than Periphery, and I say that respectfully. And also, Matt wasn't a huge factor in this. I just didn't feel like Matt, for as talented of a drummer as he is, he definitely should have been more interactive in this band. And like I said, you know, they're one of the kings of gent. You know, if they go away from displaying their talents instrumentally and try to go more of this melodic route, it's just not going to work, you know what I mean? Because I'd rather just listen to more, to, you know, bands that really have more of a presence when it comes to the melodic sound, of course. summary overall, I just expected more considering all they have given us to this point, you know, with EPs like Juggernaut and Omega, and, you know, just so much they've given us. I did expect more. I wasn't surprised considering the singles, as I mentioned. I only like Zagreus as far as the singles went. Zagreus actually did end up being my favorite song of the album as well. So I really did enjoy Zagreus. Overall, I give it a 2.5 out of 5. Obviously that means pretty average. Nothing really too crazy here. But of course, I mean, they've given us a lot. So again, guys, you can't really expect, you know, greatness forever. It's impossible. That just doesn't happen. So, like I said, I wasn't like super surprised about the album not being as great as I would have liked it to have been, but you know, it was a pretty solid album. Not an album I would really go back to listen to again, that's for sure. And let's see here. Also, guys, if you're looking for crabcore, check out the band Suasion and 0936. Suasion, you spell it Suasion. They also came out with an album this year. Badass. Definitely check out the song Trap. There's some more songs. Murphy's Law is absolutely amazing. Crabcore is here, Crabcore as well, and these guys definitely prove that. Definitely check out their album. Forget the album's name off the top of my head, but again, it's Suasion, Suasion, and 0936. 0936 are more of the Crabcore Linkin Park sort of construct to them, but they are really, really good. So if you enjoy more experimental metalcore, these bands will definitely fill that void for you, man. Because I'm a crabcore guy. You guys know that. I'm actually, you know, that's my number one subgenre in metalcore, man. That's what I do. I'm a little biased towards it, of course. Also, guys, check out Attila's new single. Definitely check that out. It's really fucking good. Really fucking good. Let's see here. Some news. Let's cover a little bit of news. Veil of Maya. I'm really excited for their new album. Really, really cool single so far. I was really impressed by Outrun and now with Red Fur. These other singles that they're coming out with just makes me super excited. Again, Gent is alive and well. Also, man, I love some Gent, and yeah, man, Veil of Maya definitely seem like they're gonna give us a really, really good album. These singles indicate that. I'm just excited for it this year, so definitely look forward to that. Also, guys, Bless the Fall. I don't know if you guys knew this, but they are done as a band. I did not know that. And I pretty much confirmed it, man. If you go on all of their social media pages, from Bo to every other band member, no one is a part of any of the social media followings. They don't post anything. They removed every single post on Instagram as far as Bless the Fall goes. They don't say anything about it. They don't even have anything in their bio about them being in the band. So kind of sucks. Then you go on Wikipedia and it says that the band definitely has ended. And it just sucks, man, you know. And like I said earlier, you know, it's just like the you know, it's like that, the evolution of music and bands, because, man, people forget Bless the Fall was really a pillar in post-hardcore, and they deserve a ton of respect a lot of admiration for what they've done for the hardcore metal you know, genres. They've contributed a lot, and unfortunately they will most likely be on an episode of The Rise and Fall. Although I may have already done a rise and fall of them, but I don't feel like they've ever really failed. They just had some mediocre albums. I don't know. I have to look in the archives, guys, but I might do a pod on that. Moving on, Of Mice and Men. I'm excited for their new album as well. Of course, they're pillars in the metalcore community. They're fucking legends. Although I will say I didn't enjoy the deluxe version of Echo, and which might seem a little surprising considering it had a lot of EDM elements and things of that nature, but I don't know, I just felt like the remixes just weren't done well. So, yeah, just wasn't a big fan of that shit, so, you know, they can just redo that. If you guys need to see what really sounds good with remixes and, like, pure EDM, not like crap, but, like, pure EDM mixes, because that's basically what the deluxe version of Echo was, go check out Deccas by As I Lay Dying. It came out a while ago. A bunch of remixes on that. I think I actually have that nominated as a top 100 album or somewhere in there. Yeah, but yeah, Deccas is awesome. And another great EDM remix infusion sort of album would be Asking Alexandria's Stand Up and Scream. The remixes on there were pretty fucking sick. So if you're newer into the scene and you don't even probably realize who Asking Alexandria is because they're not as relevant in the scene anymore, considering they are more fucking rock now, you guys probably wouldn't know about that. So yeah, definitely go check out, because Asking Alexandria is also one of the definitely top, they're probably in the top three as far as greatest metalcore bands of all time, like just overall. So yeah, definitely check that out if you're into that. Also, more news, Lil Pump. the rapper Lil Pump released a horrible metal song recently, and it fucking sucks. first of all, anytime your chorus says this, that heavy metal shit, bro, like, no. Don't ever say this, that heavy metal. Like, bro, if it's heavy metal, just let it be heavy metal. Don't say this, that heavy metal shit. You know, like, that just completely fucks it up to begin with. Another thing that made this song absolutely horrible was the tone was all over. It didn't really seem like they even knew what heavy metal was, and they were kind of going everywhere with it. And like I said, there's just no direction and too much heavy-handed guitar play. It just was absolutely terrible. So if you guys are fans of hip-hop and you know Lil Pump, just know that he made our community look like shit. Because apparently that's what he does when he's not making songs with Kanye West about fucking 20-foot-tall women. Moving on, so we're going to play a mini game I like to call Seek or Peek. And that's peaked with an ED at the end. So Seek or Peaked. So this game will consist of a bunch of bands here, not too many, but, you know, some really good bands, some notable bands that we're going to be discussing, where if I say seek, that means that they're still seeking that breakthrough moment as far as like their absolute prime project, and maybe it hasn't come out yet. Or if I say peak for that band, that means, if I say peak, that means that the band has already peaked. So this is more like a fun game for people that are newer into the scene, so that you'll like know, like, this is very important, by the way, guys, because like you guys will know if you need to go check out older projects. Because I know a lot of times people get into the scene and they start thinking that what they're listening to from a current band maybe is mediocre or just decent, so they don't go back and look at their archive or discography, I should say. And that would be a huge mistake. And that's why we're going to play this game, because it's very, very important. Because I'm actually the same way, like, until this day. Like, if I'm listening to a band that's recommended to me, and I think they're just mediocre, I'm not going to go back and look at their previous projects. So I fall victim to that same thinking. So if you guys do it, I'm right there with you. I do that shit too, but I definitely want to make this for you guys to definitely not make that mistake. So Of Mice and Men is the first band. Seeked or Peak, we gotta go with Peaked. So if you're listening to Of Mice and Men now, yes, they're still really pretty good, but yeah, they peaked, bro. Like, you gotta go listen to the original, the self-titled Of Mice and Men album. You gotta listen to singles like Second and Sebring and all that great shit. And yeah, just their catalog between like 2009 and 2012-ish was around their peak. Those projects are absolutely insane. Motionless and White, definitely want to say peaked with them. Obviously, if you guys listen to my revamp list, Creatures is rated as the greatest metalcore album of all time, considering just how great that album was with all the great singles and they show their versatility and all that good shit, man. Definitely the greatest album of all time, and I don't see how you can make another album that would top the greatest album of all time. It just gives me chills, man, thinking about Scissorhands, Puppets, the Creature Song, Cobwebs, Count Chocolitis, man, just absolutely insane. The next band, Shadow of Intent. I'm actually gonna go Seek with Shadow of Intent. Shadow of Intent, even though their last project, and like I said, I recently listened to it, is absolutely fucking phenomenal, and they're showing that they still have it, and they're definitely giving Lorna Shore a run for their money. But I would have to say Seek for them, because honestly, man, it seems like they might just be getting better. They're not really like showing a sign of like slowing down. So I definitely think they got some big things in the future, man. So I definitely want to say Seeked on for them, man. So they got some more stuff, and of course they've already had some great albums, man. So we'll see. The next band, Chelsea Grin, definitely peaked for Chelsea Grin. So if you listen to Chelsea Grin now, yes, they were a lot better back in the day. I would say more so around the 2008 through like 10-ish range. Definitely the king of EPs. They had some fucking masterful EPs, some very good albums. Even I think they had some pretty good singles on their last album, but they actually, their album Self-Inflicted actually was pretty damn good. But definitely you can tell just from the trajectory that they're headed that they definitely already peaked. And so you would definitely want to listen to some of those classic EPs and albums around that time. The next band we have is We Came as Romans. Actually, this was a tough one, but I had to go with a question mark because I don't know. For as good as they were in around 2010 through, 2009 through around 2011 range, for as good as they were, their last album, man, it was so fucking good. And it just felt as though, even though Kyle wasn't on the album, it felt as though his presence was there somehow. And I definitely would reckon that they might even be able to top To Plant a Seed. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult to do that, which is obviously their peak, but judging on their last album, man, and man, they got some crabcore elements going now, man. Very good vocals. We'll see, man. I don't know. That was a tough one. Emotionless and White peaked. Actually, we already went over Emotionless and White. Let's see here. August Burns Red peaked. Yeah, so August Burns Red definitely actually just really had some great singles here. I was actually recently listening to them. Man, their singles are fucking badass. So if you guys haven't listened to them, definitely check those out. But August Burns Red, yeah, they have some really, really good projects around 2008 through 12 range. So that was definitely more so of their peak. I remember just being on Pandora, man, and how, like, suggestions, it would always be so many suggestions for, August Burn Red songs and Jamie's Elsewhere. I swear, anyone that used Pandora and just let it play, because, you know, like around 2009, 10-ish, motherfuckers went on just Apple Music and Spotify, so we weren't gonna fucking pay per song, well, unless you were super rich, but, yeah, so we definitely used things like Pandora Radio and Jamie's Elsewhere, and August Burns Red would always pop up. But I think that just pretty much explains it. They were definitely at their peak, super good. They still are really good, but I definitely would say that they peaked, man. Some of the projects and some of the albums are just absolutely too classic for me to believe that they're going to top it. But who knows, man? That was actually a tough one. The next man, Adept. I think Adept definitely peaked. Definitely. I don't think they released the album since 2017 or 16. So definitely post-hardcore staples. Adept definitely is a badass band, but they definitely peaked. Next, Bring Me the Horizon. That's a question mark because for as good as they used to be, Bring Me the Horizon is definitely showing so much different versatility and ability to grow and evolve, man. And I actually like their softer stuff these days more than I liked it their more harsher songs back then. So I don't know, man. That's actually a question mark. Who else we got here? Sleeping with Sirens. I would definitely say Sleeping with Sirens peaked. They used to be fucking just absolutely incredible, and actually listen to their last album, man, they still are so fucking good, man. I remember when, like, Sleeping with Sirens and Pierce the Veil used to go head to head, like, who's the best post-hardcore band. People went with both. Some people thought Kellen, but I remember that those debates all the time in school. But but man, it's not even a question now. Sleeping with Sirens is definitely better, man. After that last album, it's an absolutely fucking awesome album. And of course, it came out in 2022. I wish I would have reviewed it. Sucks that I didn't, but I would definitely say they peaked. And we're talking more around that 2010-ish range in 2009. Gojira definitely peaked, I would say. Gojira definitely had some more classic albums with Magma, and you know, songs like Lymphant Savage and The Gift of Guilt. I just think those songs are super classic. I don't think they're going to be able to top those type of songs anymore. Who else we have? A Day to Remember. A Day to Remember definitely, I feel like, it has peaked. Just so much classic albums back in the day from like 2007 to 12. Even Common Courtesy, absolutely badass. Lorna Shore, I believe, has also peaked. And what I mean by that is their last two albums, they're not going to top them. They're just not. Memphis May Fire definitely peaked. They released some fucking absolutely classic albums, and they're never going to get even close to that, especially how we see how they're developing. But we'll be right back, guys. We're going to go to a commercial break. Be back. What is up, guys? Thank you for your continued listening. And back where we left off, guys. So Memphis may fire. And we're going to wrap this segment up. Yeah, so Memphis may fire, guys. And this is why this segment was so important to me. Because their two greatest albums, which were actually both on my revamp list, came out in 2011 and 2012. So the 2011 album is The Hollow, and the 2012 album is Challenger. If you listen to my revamp list, you may have heard me say those albums. And if you didn't, that's why it's so important. I felt like this segment was like super important for new listeners because, like I said, you might listen to their latest album, which is called Misery Something. Can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's Misery Something. But the point is that album is not a great reflection of who they truly are as far as their peak. So definitely, if you have not listened to those albums, you definitely want to go check those out. That was them at their absolute peak. And trust, if I had someone telling me this, if I was new to this scene, I would definitely appreciate it because it really puts it into perspective. So moving on, I wanted to do another fun little segment. It's just called The Four Horsemen of the Three Best Genres in the World. So if you guys have been listening to me for a while now, you know that I already have done episodes where I do talk about the Four Horsemen. If you have not listened to them, definitely check them out. Those were really fun episodes to record. But that was in terms of the overall like worth of that band. More specifically meaning the content that they put out as a whole made me like say, okay, well, there are four horsemen of this genre. And I was more like specific. Like I even did crabcore, so I did like subgenres of metalcore even. But yeah, man, like so this four horsemen list will be more dedicated to the current successive bands. So it'd be like maybe their last two albums or so. So I just didn't want you guys to get that confused. Like I'm saying, this band, and they only have like one or two good albums, is because I'm talking more current. So obviously, if we're talking about Four Horsemen of Metalcore, Asking Alexandra has to be on your list. If you don't have Asking Alexandra on your Four Horsemen list of all-time metalcore bands, then I can't even have a conversation with you about metalcore, because you're not metalcore. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be honest here. So hopefully you guys have a good understanding of that. The first genre we're going to start with is deathcore. I believe the Four Horsemen of Deathcore right now are Shadow of Intent, Lorna Shore, To the Grave, and Brand of Sacrifice. Now, in no particular order, so I'm not saying Shadow of Intent is the greatest of them all, but if I had to like say, because that's so hard, I believe it's just so close between like all four of them that it's hard to say like just one. Obviously, Lorna Shore is getting like the most attention right now because they're like mixing things up so well right now with their music and really pushing boundaries, which I really respect. But and Will Ramos is just insane, but they're definitely, you know, more hype. I've been listening to Lorna Shore for a while, so it's not surprising to me what they're doing, but I'm not just gonna say because they're like super popular right now that they're the best in deathcore. Cause I think Shadow of Intent really has something to say about that. To the Grave, man. Oh my God, their last album. It's fucking gnarly. If you did not check out that episode, definitely check that out. But yeah, man, I can't really say, man. But yeah, I just can't say. I want to say I would be leaning towards Shadow of Intent, but I don't know. That's tough. It doesn't matter anyway. This is more informative. The next genre we have is metalcore. I believe the four horsemen of metalcore right now are Monuments, Stain the Canvas, The Devil Wears Prada, yes, those boys still got it after all these years, and I Prevail. So, the fact that The Devil Wears Prada has stood the, I'm just going to botch that phrase completely, so I'm just going to let that shit fucking go now. But, yeah, the fact that Devil Wears Prada is still relevant, they're still around, they're still making good music, is absolutely fucking awesome. Obviously, their last album, Color Decay, wasn't as heavy as I would have expected. But again, bands don't always have to be heavy for it to sound good. I mean, it's an expectation, but it doesn't, you know. There's so much heavy shit you can listen to. Like, I'm not going to base everything off of being heavy. If I wanted to just listen to heavy shit, I'll just go on a Spotify deathcore playlist. You know what I mean? So, definitely respected that album, and that's definitely why they're still on this list. Of course, even their last EPs and projects were even good. But if you guys don't know Stain the Canvas, they are fucking amazing. Their last two projects were absolutely phenomenal. When I revamp the top 25 list, their latest album, All Fine, will definitely be on that list, and it will rank very high on that list. And of course, man, you know, Monuments, I Prevail, they're definitely just fucking awesome. I think Monuments are the best gent band right now, and I didn't want to make like a side category. I mean, prog metalcore is still metalcore, so these would be my guys, man. Those would be the four horsemen that I would rock with. I would put them against any other four that anyone can name. As far as post-hardcore, we have, of course, Sleeping with Sirens. They're still rocking out. Outline in Color, The Amity Affliction, and Bring Me the Horizon. Yes, Bring Me the Horizon is officially post-hardcore. They haven't released anything heavy since, I don't know, like, maybe the last heavy song they released was fucking, I want to say maybe Obey, yeah, probably Obey. Obey wasn't like super heavy, it was definitely more leaning towards post-hardcore, and I respect it. Like I said, I think Bring Me the Horizon is the best they've ever been. You know, I don't think they were ever like a four horsemen of metalcore. I never thought that they were that good, but I think they've gotten better, so definitely deserve a spot on this list, and ironically, it's in a different genre. The Amity Affliction, I'm excited for when they're going to release their next project. I have not been updated on that, but man, they're just staples in this genre for sure. Outline and Color, of course, they're badass. I talked about their latest album. I think it actually got a spot on the top 25 revamp. I'm not sure, but that album was absolutely insane. It's called Coast is Clear. And of course, man, yeah, so I think those are all the four horsemen of the three best genres in the world. And there's that. Moving on to our last segment of the podcast, of this podcast. We, of course, like I said, guys, I was super inspired by how many great albums came out last year. So many great projects that I had to take a deeper dive and see what was the greatest year of metalcore and just hardcore music in general. And I came up with, let's see here, about four different years. About four different years that registered on my list here. And guys, do not be upset if I don't say a year that you got, well, not a year, but you guys wouldn't be upset about that. But if I don't say an album that you guys care about, because there are so many great albums in these years that there was just, I mean, I left out some great fucking albums. I'm pretty sure I left out a Black Veil Brides album, man. I was fucking pissed. Because I actually ended up leaving their album out because I only did like the top 13. And that's a lot of fucking albums. 13 albums. So just to think, like, you're doing a list of 13 and you're like, oh shit, like, oh, I forgot this album. But yeah, yeah, that actually happened. That actually happened. So yeah, again, just don't stop listening to the pod because I left your favorite album out. And I think in, because 2010 is one of the years, I think I actually left out Fever, which was by, Bullet for My Valentine. Yeah, man, that's one of my favorite albums of all time, for sure. Yeah, Fever was absolutely an insane album, so. Yeah, there was a few albums I definitely left out for sure. We're going to get into it. Just give me one moment here. Four best years, I think it was. Let's see. Start this thing off right. Greatest year of metal. First of all, 2010. 2010 albums are Attack Attack's self-titled album, Attack Attack, Monument by Miss May I, Sweet Talker by Like Moths to Flames, Numbers by Woe Is Me, Revision Revise, Bullet for a Pretty Boy, They Said a Storm Was Coming, Jamie's Elsewhere, Recover, Confide, Zombie EP, The Devil Wears Prada, I'm not even going to try to pronounce We Butter the Bread with Butter's album, but it's something that starts with Der Tag. But it was awesome. As I Lay Dying, The Powerless Rise, Creatures, Motionless in White, and Desolation of Eden, Chelsea Grin, and also Giving by Abandon All Ships. Absolutely fantastic albums. If you guys don't know those albums, definitely check them out. Like I said, this pod was more of an informative pod, but definitely, you know, going down memory lane a little bit to compare things to modern times. The next year we have is, that was a fantastic year, was 2011, right after that. We had Set the World on Fire by Black Veil Brides, Understanding What We've Grown to Be, We Came as Romans, Let's Cheer to This, Sleeping with Sirens, Reckless and Relentless by Asking Alexandria, The End of the World Party by Icy Stars, The Flood of Mice and Men, A Skillet Drive, IOF album, In Waves by Trivium, Leveler by August Burns Red, Dead Throne, The Devil Wears Prada, Burn This World, The Browning, Outlawed by Attila, and The Black Crown by Suicide Silence. So just think of all those albums compared to the 2010, and you guys tell me, you be the judge as far as those two go. But a lot of great content for sure. Moving on, another year that definitely was comparative to the greatest year of all time. We have Low Teens by Every Time I Die, All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us by Architects, Polar Similar, Norma Jean, The Black, Asking Alexandria, Bad Vibrations by A Day to Remember, Dark Matter, The Word Alive, Self-Inflicted, Chelsea Grin, Straight from the Barrio, Upon a Burning Body, Treehouse, Icy Stars, Chaos, Attila, Drift, Era, and This Can Be Heartbreak, Amity, Affliction. Moving on, we have 2019. The albums are So What, While She Sleeps, Shaped by Fire, As I Lay Dying, Pressure, Wage War, Alien, North Lane, Disguise, Motionless in White, Finding God Before God Finds Me, Bad Omens, Villain, Attila, Trauma, I Prevail, Human Target, Thy Art is Murder, Beautiful Oblivion, Issues, Sudden Sky, Crown the Empire, Southern Hostility, Upon a Burning Body, and Melancholy, Shadow of Intent. And I already knew when I was first making this list that this year would be possibly the greatest year of metal of all time, because I remember how passionate I was in 2019 at the end of the year, how great that year was. And if you guys actually search it, I have a podcast on the top few albums of 2019, because I just really enjoy 2019. It was just such an awesome year for sure. And last but maybe least, or is it going to be least, 2022, Modern Times. We have Color Decay, The Devil Wears Prada, True Power, I Prevail, Pain Remains, Lorna Shore, In Stasis, Monuments, Suffering Hell, Chelsea Grin, Scoring the End of the World, Motionless in White, The Death of Peace of Mind, Bad Omens, Remade in Misery, Memphis May Fire, Obsidian, North Lane, Fear and Dagger, Paleface Swiss, Death Mask Part 2, Dark OUS, Complete Collapse, Sleeping with Sirens, and Elegy, Shadow of Intent. Now, as difficult as this was, actually this shit was not that difficult, man. 2022 was the greatest year in metal / hardcore history. I mean, you just look at those albums and they absolutely jump off the page. Although it was very comparative in some ways to 2010, I believe, is the closest year. Man, because 2010 has so many great albums. As you can see, Monument, Sweet Talker, and all those great albums. But there are some good, not great albums in 2010. You know, like I think Recover by Confide was just a good album. I don't think it was that great. I think Desolation of Eden by Chelsea Grin was really good, not great. Now, when you look at fucking 2022 albums, I don't think there's one that just good album. I think all of those albums were great. Now, Remain in Misery by Memphis May Fire isn't the greatest, nor Suffer in Hell. So that's what sort of drops it a little bit. And I know I could have replaced those couple of albums with some perhaps better albums. But I don't know, man. It's just, when you look at, and of course 2010 also had Creatures, the greatest album of all fucking time. So you just look at it, man. It's pretty close, actually, but 2022 just kind of just stands off the page, man. When you look at how, like, the top albums, how great they were. Like, Pain Remains, how great that album is. Obviously, you can compare it to maybe Attack Attack's album, but then you go into an album like In Stasis by Monuments, and then you look at, okay, what can you compare that album to from 2010? Because obviously these are the best 2 years, and you could say Creatures, I guess, and then you just keep going. You could say The Death of Peace of Mind. What could you compare that to? You could perhaps say, let's see, they said a storm was coming. That was really good. Then you could probably say Obsidian, super good. You can compare that to, let's say, see, this is where it starts to get a little tricky, you know? Did I say Monument already? I don't think I did, but maybe you could say Monument if I did not say that. And then you start going down, Paleface Swiss, Elegy. See, there is no album to compare those albums to. Those albums were so good. There is no album from 2010 that's going to match up with them. The Powerless Rise, My SLA Dying, loved it, but it can't match up to either one of those albums, you know what I mean? So I just sort of just thought about it in that way to really help me break it down, because I didn't want to be biased or have like recency bias, so I actually like really compared them there. But just so much content, so much music, and shit, that doesn't even include some of the EPs that came out in 2022. So, but obviously you can say the same thing for 2010 as well, but yeah, man, I believe those were the two greatest years. Those were the overall the five greatest years in metalcore and hardcore history. So, and also, man, don't sleep on 09. 09 was insane for post-hardcore. So if you're here because you're a post-hardcore fan and maybe there's no post-hardcore podcast, definitely I want to rep 2009. 2009 was absolutely insane for post-hardcore. So shout out to that year. Shout out to that genre, because that year was definitely badass. There's no doubt about it. And I think that pretty much covers everything for this one, guys. Let's see if I'm missing out on anything here. I don't think so. I think we already talked about some of the projects that I didn't listen to before I made my previous podcast that I've listened to now. Realize how great of a year 2022 was, and that pretty much is going to cover everything I want to really add for this particular podcast. But yeah, guys, stay tuned. I'm going to be doing a deep album breakdown of Invent Animate. I'm a really huge fan of that band. They just released the album like a week ago or so. So look forward to that episode. Definitely want to break that album down. And like I said, I think Veil of Maya is releasing an album really soon. So I might just do an episode where I just break down both of those albums together. That might make a lot of sense. Unless some really good singles come out. If some really, really good singles come out, I'll definitely might do an episode breaking those down as well. I need to start making episodes like as soon as these albums drop. I know, guys, I'm sorry, man. Wish I was a lot quicker about that sort of stuff. And pretty much gonna do it. I think I covered everything. US. We already talked about August Burns Red's new singles. So I really like Backfire and Reckoning. I didn't really like the third single much, but Backfire and Reckoning is absolutely badass. There's no doubt about it. Man, I think the two most consistent albums for 2022 was Shadow of Intent's album and Architects' album. Man, those two bands just know how to be really consistent. I really respect that. I really fucking respect that. And that's where I feel like Shadow of Intent may have the edge over Lorna Shore, is that Shadow of Intent, it's very rare that they don't make a good song. Like, all their songs are good. You know what I mean? And that goes a long way with me, so I mean, obviously, Lorna Shore has some songs that are just absolutely fucking ridiculous, but I like consistency, man. That's why I always respect it As I Lay Dying, because As I Lay Dying, it's like those guys do not know how to make a bad song. They've been like that forever, too, so I definitely always respected them for sure. But, yeah, that's pretty much going to do it, guys. Once again, shout out all the females in the metalcore slash hardcore scene. I definitely respect you guys. You guys are coming with it, man. I can't emphasize that enough. From Courtney LaPlante to Alex Reed to Jules, you guys are just absolutely crushing it. So keep doing that. Like I said, I look forward to the episodes. I'll leave a link down in the description for social media if you want to leave a voicemail. And I also might leave a poll for you Spotify listeners specifically. There'll be maybe a couple of questions you can answer. And outside of that, keep your foot on the pedal and stay metal. I'm out. Peace.
Oh, thank you.